Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome back, everybody. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman this week. I'm joined in studio by Tony Vitagliano, one of our vice presidents. Dr. Alex McFarland is with us. And now Chris Woodward steps into the news guy spot.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, depending on where our listeners are situated. So did you have a good weekend?
I did. It was we had, you know, kind of stayed indoors with all the rain. But we rested. Had a good time.
Yeah. Sorry about the Dolphins.
Well, let me tell you something. The good Lord tried to tell me something a long time ago about sports when he allowed me in my own free will to root for the Atlanta Braves, the Miami Dolphins, and the Mississippi State Bulldogs. I usually, you know, there is a season for weeping. And for me, it's usually any season.
Yeah, any season. Yeah.
But I'm not bitter. Yeah, the Dolphins season pretty much is cooked right now. They did sign a guy today, a backup QB from Baltimore, who's been around a few teams. You know, Tua is not likely to return anytime soon.
I don't really care about the Dolphins, Chris. I was just being polite.
Well, that's the thing. I'm not old enough to remember, like, when they were really good. I wasn't alive in the 70s. I'm not old enough to remember 80s Marino. I remember, like, old, hobbled-up, fake Spike Marino in the 90s. But that's why I was a fan. And
Spike Marino.
See, this is what we do. It's a coping mechanism.
Yes.
I'm a State fan.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, it's just you go through the list of excuses. Mm-hmm. Like, well, you know, we've had a few injuries, and, you know, it'll turn around. And
well, I'm a Notre Dame fan, and we killed Purdue. We killed them.
It's an in-state battle there, Notre Dame and Purdue. Yeah.
All right. So Tim's not here today, so we don't have to spend as much time talking about college football, but we did a little bit. We did a little bit. So
we did,
you know. And that, by the way, I'm surrounded here at AFA. Folks, you all probably know our home base, our headquarters, are in Tupelo, Mississippi. And so I am just always surrounded by people talking about Mississippi State and Ole Miss. And I'm perhaps the only Notre Dame fan here in the building. So I just keep my mouth shut. I don't even get involved in it.
Well, I will tell you this. If you want to, you're certainly welcome. There will probably be a lot of seats available. But UMass is coming to Mississippi State in November if you want to go see the Minuteman take on the Bulldogs.
It's probably going to be competitive.
Probably will.
The way the season's going. So.
Probably will.
All right. So what do we got here? What's what news bringeth thou?
Well, you guys spent the last hour talking about the Trump assassination attempt, and rightly so. I want to shift gears and talk about something else in the political world, that being some comments that Kamala Harris's running mate, Governor Tim Walz of Minnesota, made at a recent human rights campaign event. This was earlier this month, but the AP is still running hard and heavy with this because it is a big issue amongst some voters this November. Here now is Governor Tim Walz at a human rights campaign earlier this month talking about all the great things that he and other Democrats did for the LGBTQ community, and then I'll bring in some reaction for you. But let's begin with clip 9.
And so when we got the majority in Minnesota for the first time in over a decade, we had the governor's office, we had the House, and we had the Senate by one vote. And we got busy. First thing we did is we banned conversion therapy in Minnesota. We protected transgender community and said, in Minnesota, you are seen, heard, loved, and respected, and safe in Minnesota. And we did something a little bit. We banning books, especially banning LGBTQ books for themes in that.
So he's getting a lot of reaction there for things.
Now,
by the way,
the Human Rights Campaign is the largest pro-homosexual lobby group in the country.
Yes. And by the way, conversion therapy is a generic term that people on the left, specifically those that support radical LGBTQ initiatives, that's something they use in place of counseling therapy. So if someone goes to, for example, a pastor or a Christian council for unwanted same-sex attractions, even that is not allowed now in the state of Minnesota.
Would that be criminalized?
Or
could you just lose a license?
You could lose your license.
So we're not talking when conversion therapy is that kind of overly broad label that a lot of people think is, oh, so electroshock therapy. Right. Well, I don't think that's very good either.
Right.
But this law would include that, of course.
Yes.
But it would also go to the pastor counseling or the Christian counselor.
Exactly.
With who's licensed or certified, who's counseling someone who comes and says, I don't want these same-sex feelings. Mm-hmm. How can you help me? They could lose their license.
Right, and that is something that Liberty Counsel, Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel, has been going to court for a long time now. We've got a ton of stories about his efforts there. So when you hear the words conversion therapy, it's not just the bad shock therapy stuff that even we would denounce, but it's the talk therapy of going to a pastor or a counselor for. That's a huge concern there.
Chris, what about the books? I mean, it just sounds like they're wanting to keep people from burning books out in the street.
Right.
You know, these are innocent books, right?
Well,
I'm sure that...
That plays into the whole mindset that people on the right are all Nazis. The Nazis burned books. The people on the right are Nazis. They're book burners, too. But even if you go back far enough, there have been efforts on the left, not just in Minnesota, but out in California, other parts of the country, where governors and Democrat-run legislatures have banned books like Huck Finn and stuff like that because they didn't, To Kill a Mockingbird, all these things because they didn't like cultural depictions. So the left often is guilty of trying to ban books. I will say this. It's not banning books. They're getting rid of them from, like, school libraries where a kid doesn't need to get that. You can still get it from your library.
Pornographic.
Yes,
right?
This is absolutely disingenuous. Is a kind way of saying what Tim Wall said. It's a lie to say that Christians are wanting to quote unquote ban books. And I know we're going to get back to the issue of conversion therapy and so on and so forth. But what parents are complaining about, to your point, Tony, is pornographic and explicit depictions of homosexuality in books that are available for kids.
Yes.
We're little kids and teenagers. And parents say they'd want those removed. And the fact of the matter is, listen, AFA has battled with the American Library Association since the 90s when this organization, which controls most public libraries in the country and most of the libraries, I'm guessing, in public schools, we wanted simple filters on the computers in public libraries to keep underage kids from accessing pornography. And the American Library Association said, no, we're opposed to that. So the fact of the matter is, in every library in the country, librarians censor all the time. And by censor, I mean they make decisions about what books go in the library. The librarian does that.
Right.
Parents don't do it. The librarian does it. So somebody's making the decision. Parents are saying, we want to have an impact on that process.
Yeah.
So this is the kind of lies we get from the left when they try to shade the meaning so that it makes conservatives look like book-burning Nazis.
Right. And with 50 days to go until Election Day, we can expect to hear more about this, probably talk about it on this show, because Democrats are counting on these people, these radical LGBTQ people, to show up and vote for them and try to get them to 270
let's
votes.
Let's go ahead and get this reaction
yes.
to Tim Wallace's comments, and then we're going to bring Alex in.
Okay. This now is Arthur Scopper of Mass Resistance talking to AFN about this, about Tim Wallace and his comments here. Clip 6.
Tim Wallace is like the most aggressive, radical, progressive in the country. This guy is Gavin Newsom with less hair, colder weather. This guy is a complete LGBT fanatic, and they are going to do everything they can to normalize this agenda across the board. You will see them rushing through the Equality Act, which expands the Civil Rights Act protections to include sexual orientation and gender identity. If we are fortunate enough to see a Trump and especially a J.D. Vance presidency come November, our work is only beginning. There, we've got so many people still believing the lies, and Tim Walz is the epitome of that.
You know, Alex, there's an old expression about the camel getting its nose under the tent, under the flap. And the LGBTQ movement is that metaphor. Perfect. It's a perfect metaphor for that. We could be facing in this country an all-out assault on religious freedom and specifically Christianity. Like they have in the UK, like they have in Canada, where a radio network like ours I fully expect if Kamala Harris wins the presidency, you talk about weaponizing the Justice Department to go after Donald Trump in the here in the past. I think that she will weaponize the federal bureaucracy to go after radio networks like ours to take away our licenses because we talk about what the Bible says.
Yeah. And I want to say to my fellow pastors out there, pastors, I beg of you, I plead with you to get in your pulpit and use your platform to influence your parishioners to vote. By the way, on my own website, alexmcfarland.com/vote, I wrote what we call a first-time voter's guide. If you haven't voted in years or if you're a first-time voter, what you should care about in this election. And this thing about Tim Walz speaking to the Human Rights Campaign, the Human Rights Campaign is global. They're all over the world. They're in bed with the UN. And There are two things we really ought to point out is they are making a behavior an ethnicity. Homosexual activity is a behavior. It is not an ethnicity. You know, in a legal sense, in a constitutional sense, they talk about mutable and immutable characteristics. And homosexual behavior or transgender behavior, this is not an immutable, inherent characteristic you're born with. It isn't. And so, pastors, here's the thing. If Christianity becomes a prosecutable offense, telling people that certain behaviors are sin in the eyes of God, that sin must be repented of to turn to Christ and be saved, if it becomes illegal for us to spread the gospel of how one can be redeemed and given new life in Jesus, it's going to be too late. And all of these fellow pastors of mine that say, oh, Alex, you know, we live for heaven. God hasn't called us to save the world. Well, Matthew 28:18-20, Christ said, go into all the world, make disciples, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And if it becomes illegal to live and preach and proclaim the full counsel of God, well, then, you know, we just can't be the church that Christ has called us to be. But we have an opportunity. We have a little window of opportunity to save our free constitutional Judeo-Christian republic. And we've got to pray. We've got to vote. The window of opportunity is closing, and I fear closing quickly.
Tony, it's we have been hearing, and Alex mentioned this in our story meeting this morning, and Brother Bert Harper has mentioned this as well. We are hearing from pastors, and first of all, let me just say, pastors believe they have to answer to God, of course. I'm not going to lecture pastors, but we are hearing that some pastors, I don't know what the percentage would be like, seem reticent to get involved or to encourage their congregations to get involved in this election because, in their opinion, neither of the main candidates, Donald Trump or Kamala Harris, appear to be, of course, we have no idea of knowing what's in the heart, but appear that they are not explicitly Christian, okay? And we all know with Donald Trump, there are concerns on the part of some people about, you know, some of his views, some of his actions, and these pastors seem to be struggling with encouraging their folks to get involved. I don't think it's unfair to say that this may very well be the most important election. Let me just say this: in my lifetime. And for Christians to be on the sidelines and not involved, I just think is a dereliction of Christian duty.
Amen.
I agree. Amen. I mean, I think we've become complacent as Christians. I think we've enjoyed our freedoms and rights for so long that we don't ever think that they can be taken away from us. Mm-hmm. And we think they're always available there to us. And if I don't vote in this election, I'll just vote in the next one. Well, like you said, I think sitting on the sidelines in this election, has the potential for us to suffer 10 years of persecution. And if you ask, you need to talk to other believers around the world who don't have a vote, who don't have a voice in their own governments. And if you ask them, hey, if you had the opportunity to vote in your election that would oust the regime that you're currently sitting, whose boot you're currently sitting under, who won't let you gather in public, who won't let you speak openly about the gospel and share your faith, would you vote in that election? And I have to believe that Christians around the world would say, yes, if I had the ability, if I had the choice to vote, I would vote. I'm reminded of Paul in Acts invoking his Roman citizenship numerous times before Roman leaders and Roman rulers, and he invoked it. And if Paul felt like it was something inherently evil, who obviously the Roman Empire was very pagan,
right.
Very evil, you know, and not Christian by any means, but if Paul felt that he was justified in invoking his Roman citizenship and using that, then we as Christians in America should also feel okay with invoking our citizenship and our rights in voting in this election.
Alex, amen. You want to toss it again?
Yeah, I've had pastors say to me as recently as last week, they'll say, well, you know, Alex, America is going to go how it goes. My home is in heaven. Here's the thing. Our free nation is really like a tool. It's a tool for living and sharing the gospel. Mm-hmm. Now, your church building is a tool. Now, if your church building gets a leak in the roof and needs repair, do you just say, well, you know what? Yes, I know the roof is leaking, but, you know, I'm just going to trust God. No.
Our home is in heaven.
my home is in heaven. God didn't call me to save a leaky roof. No. Look, it's only good stewardship. And I love what you said there, that Paul, when it was expedient, would invoke his Roman citizenship. Jesus, by the way, Neil Mammon, who's a great scholar and a longtime friend, Neil Mammon talks about when Jesus was, interacting with the Sadducees and Pharisees, that was really the Senate of that time, if you would. So we Christians, I think we have a stewardship obligation to repair this wonderful tool called a free America and encourage your people to vote. And let me just say this for the record. No man knows another person's heart. Mm-hmm. And I barely know my own heart. Jeremiah 17 alludes to the darkness of the heart. Two men that I've known for many years, one of whom I worked for, James Dobson, a man of unimpeachable integrity, Dr. Robert Jeffers, brilliant, brilliant man. Both of these men prayed with Donald Trump when he and Dobson shared the gospel. And Trump, when I've heard him many times, but in February of this year in Nashville, before the National Religious Broadcasters, Donald Trump said, and this is a nearly verbatim quote, but he said, I have put my faith in Christ. I am a Christian believer. I have trusted Christ for my salvation. Now, here's my point. I've got a lot of Christian friends that say, well, I'm not going to vote for Trump. He's an old pagan. No, he is not. And who are the pastors to question a man who says he's a believer in Jesus? Jeffers and Dobson prayed the sinner's prayer with him. But my point is this, whether or not Trump is an exemplary disciple of Christ, that's between him and God. My point is, if you care about saving the unborn, if you care about peace in the Middle East, if you care about protecting the Constitution and the rights of taxpaying American citizens, everything about America versus Marxism, come on, people, have the conviction and the courage to speak about voting and encourage people to be Christians, to be registered and to vote. And I suspect many of my fellow pastors, it's lack of conviction and lack of courage that they're being silent. And this just isn't right, brothers. Come on.
Amen. And folks, listen, there are, I absolutely think you should be voting at the top of the ticket for president. Okay. We've done our best to convince you, but certainly don't stay home. Mm-hmm. If you're having a difficult time taking a pick between Trump and Harris, you still have Senate votes. You still have House of Representatives. You in a lot of places you're voting for governors. You're voting for all kinds of things. Don't stay home. That is the absolute worst thing you can do. And folks, let me just also remind you that one of the divisions here at American Family Association is the iVoter Guide.
Right.
iVoterGuide.com. iVoterGuide.com. You can go there. If you are not registered yet, it's an easy, non-embarrassing way to get registered. Okay? You don't have to go to someone and say, you know, I haven't voted in 20 years. I'm embarrassed to say that. You can do that online. iVoter Guide tells you how to do that. iVoter Guide will have, as we get closer to the election, we'll have comprehensive guides on all the major candidates and all the major federal races, also state races, even in some places, down ballot for legislators, and in some cases even for, I think, maybe some, I don't know if they go all the way down to school board.
They do.
They do.
Yeah, I mentioned this last week. I'll share a screenshot of Debbie's article, but Debbie Wethnow of iVoter Guide wrote a recent article in AFA The Stand, what used to be called AFA Journal, or the AFA Journal, but she talked about the importance of down-ballot races. We don't just elect a president every 4 years. Every election, we elect a number of things. So when you do get your ballot this November, you are going to be voting on president, but you're also going to be most likely, well, you're definitely going to vote on a representative. You might vote on a U.S. senator. You'll have a number of state and local elections. And she points out that, look, a lot of people that are in politics today started out in local offices.
Right.
So today's school board members could be tomorrow's congressman or senator. So that is why it is important that you do that. You research these people and you do show up to vote, so that way they don't win an election 46-2 or something,
right,
because only a few people voted.
Yeah, iVoterGuide.com, folks. This is the best, the most detailed voter guide out there. Alex, you also mentioned, did you have something on your website that you had? You'd written an article or something about voting?
Yeah. Thank you, Ed. AlexMcFarland.com/vote. And by the way, I've interviewed Debbie Wethnow many times, mm-hmm. and we heartily endorse the iVoter Guide. But on my own website, I wrote what to consider when voting. I've got a downloadable PDF I created that's like a bulletin insert. It's nonpartisan. It's just why we should vote. It's a stewardship issue. What are the issues? It's completely nonpartisan, but I would encourage people, and if churches want some of what to consider when voting that I wrote, email me. I'll send you some of these printouts, or you can download the bulletin insert and print them yourselves.
And folks, let me just make one last pitch to you if you're trying to decide whether to vote. And I've used this example many, many times. Alex alluded to it as well. But for those who say it's all going to burn and there's no need to get involved, we should only be concerned about going to heaven, you don't treat your car that way. If it starts to make noise, you take it to the mechanic. If you start to have heart palpitations, guess what? You go see the doctor. Well, why? It's all going to burn. So if you take that kind of effort, as Alex said, to fix your roof, to fix your car, to make sure your body stays healthy, why wouldn't you fix this republic if you can give it a shot?
That's right.
And go to the ballot and to the ballot box and vote. All right, folks, that is all the time we have for this edition of Today's Issues. For Tony Vitagliano, Dr. Alex McFarland, Fred Jackson, and Chris Woodward, thank you for joining us. More great programming directly ahead on American Family Radio, and Lord willing, we'll see you on this program tomorrow.